yeah, friendlies and Tim Hortons and all that, and tea and crumpets. And she's so excited. We were in Niagara Falls, and the lady of the house we were staying with there, that she had crumpets, and so she was excited about that. But so I thought tea and crumpets was something they did in England, and that, you know, years ago. And I don't know, but how many of y'all eat crumpets here? Anybody eat crumpets? Yeah, just my wife and the lady back here. Okay, they are good. So maybe you can give it a try. Do they sell them in the grocery stores around here? Yeah, no, not really. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Like Pastor said, we're going with a team to the country of India. Now, Mrs. Cole told me that y'all support the Bushies. Mark Bushy was in New Zealand, and now he's heading up Team Thailand out of First Baptist Church in Hammond there. And the next team we're going to be this summer at the end of August or early September or so. We're not sure about our departure date yet, but we're looking to go to India. We're going to South India, to the state of Andhra Pradesh. We're working with the national pastor, Brother Kumar. He's been pastoring in India for over 20 years, national pastor, and he heard about team missions through a missionary evangelist. Brother Clarence Moore was there working with him, doing some evangelistic meetings, and he told him about team missions, and he said, well, I'd like to get a team here. So they met with Brother Scott, our pastor, about that, and decided to send a team over there. India, like Pastor said, is quickly becoming the most largely populated country in the world. Right now, China has 1.3 billion people. India, almost 1.2 billion. In just the next few years, India is supposed to surpass China's population. And by the year 2050, the estimated population for India is 1.9 billion people. That's really growing. And not just the population, but the economy is on its way up. And not really a third world country anymore. It's really on its way up. And of course, sanitation and things we have to deal with. But how many of y'all have ever been to an Indian doctor before? Probably most of you. That very good doctors there, and they all come here because they can make better money. But our missions director, missions pastor, Brother Moore, said they actually send a lot of x-rays from the States over to India to be read by Indian doctors. So isn't that encouraging? All right. But team missions isn't a new concept. Kind of new to our circles, Baptist circles. Mrs. Cole and I were talking about that. A lot of other groups have been doing it for years. And if you read a lot of old missionary books, William Carey had a team and went to India. Not right away, but later on, his mission board sent him a team, and the work flourished from there. Brother Hudson Taylor had a team. Paul in the Bible, team missions is in the Bible, the book of Acts. Paul took men with him and established churches throughout Asia. But I want to talk to you tonight. If you can go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. And while you're turning there, I'll just tell you a little bit more about what's going on. Brother Kumar has been working in India, like I said, for 20 years. And he's been able to establish 193 churches in that amount of time. A very open field. People are open to the gospel. He's just been reaching people with the gospel and training men as they come to his church and training them and sending men out to pastor churches all over the area. 193 churches with 135 pastors, a great need for pastors. Americans can't pastor in India. Someone told me you can. It's very, very difficult to get the visas and things that you need to do that. And so we're going to go there, a team of 9 families, including Brother Kumar, to work with him. And we're start a brand new church about an hour away from where his church was at, in a city called Rajahmundry. We'll go there, and the way we're getting in is through English education. The people in India, the children are required to go to school. They don't have enough schools for them to go to. And so we'll go there and start a school and teaching English and things. We'll have a Christian school and also a Bible college. Our plan is to train the nationals, win souls, baptize our converts, and then train them to go out and do the work. And a great need. Brother Kumar's goal, when he was pastoring a church in India, his goal was to establish 1,000 churches during his lifetime. And he said now he believes with the team, his goal is to establish 20,000 churches in India. It seems like a great number of churches, but really, it's just a drop in the bucket with so many people. And so much to do there. Like your pastor said, you can never send too many missionaries to a country like India. So I wish you'd pray for us about that. And also Brother Calap, he's our team missions director, if you pray for his health. Do you know Brother Calap? Has he ever been here or anything, or are you familiar with him? Okay. Bill Kalap, our team missions director, he started the China team and worked going in there. Over 5,000 people have been saved there. Then a few years later, after the team had been there, Brother Scott, our pastor, asked him to come back and head up 7 teams. And so right now we're on team number 4. Team number 2 was Ghana. Over 170,000 people have been saved there. Amazing ministry going on there. So open to the gospel. In India, there is some openness, but it's also very difficult and things. But in Ghana, the government's very open. The people are very open. The public schools are open. Awesome ministry going on there. Team Thailand, as you know, for the Bushy. They've been there for almost a year now. This summer will be a year. And they've had over 5,000 people saved. I haven't been up on the numbers recently, but awesome ministry there. Brother Kalap was on a survey trip in December to India. We weren't able to go, but a couple of the team families, along with Brother Kumar, they went over and had almost 2,000 people saved in just a little over a week. They had a pastor's conference. Over 200 pastors came out for the conference. And we're just excited what's going to happen there. We're looking forward to having pastors come. And you know, many situations in these foreign countries where the pastors don't have the education that we have here in America, the opportunity that we have for going to Bible college and things. And so our idea is to go there and take them what we have in America, the conferences and the training and the schools, and to train the people there. There are so many of these countries where they don't have a knowledge of the gospel at all, and there's very little gospel being preached, and very few Bible colleges. There's a unlearning that must accompany the gospel. We've got a responsibility to go there and not just to preach the gospel and reach a few, but we've got to train them to go. I want to be talking about that tonight a little bit. Matthew 28, and let's look at the end of the chapter there. And we've just got a few minutes here, and we'll look at the Bible. And I want to talk to you tonight about this idea of the Great Commission. Missions. As a missionary, that's what I know best. Many other things we could talk about tonight. I want to talk to you about what I believe is the closest thing to God's heart and the purpose of the church, missions, reaching people with the gospel. And so let's look here at Matthew 28, starting at verse number 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to meet here together tonight. And God, I pray that you'd meet with us. God, I pray that you speak to us through your word. And God, we know that if you don't meet with us tonight, it's all in vain. God, I pray that you'd speak to hearts. I pray that you'd help us to clear our minds, the burdens of this week and the trials of our lives. I pray you'd help us to clear our minds and to focus in and speak to our hearts. And pray that you'd encourage us and help us to do more for you. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In just a minute, we'll look at these verses. You can keep your Bible open if you like, or stick a bookmark in there. I want to talk to you tonight about this matter of the Great Commission. And I've been looking at your display board, or your missionary boards back here in the back, and it looks like this is a missions-minded church, and you support missions, and having evangelists and things, and a missionary in recently, and allowing us to come. We're thankful for missions-minded churches all across the country. It wasn't for churches like your church. Small country churches, in many cases. I come from a small country church. Churches like yours and like my home church, where the missionaries come from many times, but also the way that missionaries go to the field. You're supplying the missionaries and also supplying the monies and the finances, the resources to do the work on the field. And I look back here at the boards and many familiar faces of missionaries that we know and friends of ours, but also I think about the great work you're doing, and I think about the work that we're doing at First Baptist Church in Hammond, a very missions-minded church. But then I want to ask you this question tonight. Are we fulfilling the Great Commission? And you're doing a lot for missions, and no doubt many of you support missions with a very great amount of money you give to missions, and you pray for missionaries. And you get the prayer letters, and you pray for missionaries, and you go out and evangelize and win the lost, and you hand out tracts at work and things. And as you go to school and things like that, and then your testimony in the community, and you knock on doors maybe. But I want to ask you tonight, are we fulfilling the Great Commission? Just going to read you a few stats here. In 1950, there were 100,000 missionaries. Since 1950, we've lost 1,000 missionaries per year, and only 50 take their place each year. Today, there are approximately 29,000 missionaries worldwide. There are only about 5,000 independent Baptist missionaries. 43% of missionaries never complete deputation. U.S. missionary families in foreign fields are 2,628. This is from a survey. 23 fundamental mission boards were surveyed. There are 72 nations without any U.S. missionary. 253 nations that have most of the U.S. missionaries. 30% of all fundamental Baptist missionaries are located in 5 countries. According to Bearing Precious Seed, a ministry that prints Bibles and literature in other languages to be distributed around the world, Bearing Precious Seed, they said over 5,000 languages still today without even a copy of the New Testament or the Bible in their language. Maybe they're fortunate enough to have a gospel tract printed in their language, or maybe John and Romans, but over 5,000 languages without even a copy of the New Testament. I want to ask you tonight, are we fulfilling the Great Commission? 120 people. If we were to study the book of Acts and really look into the history of the church and what happened there in Jerusalem, I believe that we would see there were 120 people. And in 2 years, this church in Jerusalem grew from 120 to a minimum of 100,000 people. The numbers are debatable. You could argue the numbers. Many theologians who don't even believe in soul winning, don't believe in aggressive, confrontational soul winning. Many of those theologians who don't believe in soul winning would say the church grew to a quarter million of people in 2 years' time. Whatever the numbers are, even if that stat was 90% wrong, that's still 10,000 people. 100,000 people is 90% wrong, still 10,000 people. I believe God put the church there as a pattern ministry for what we are to do. And you look at churches across the country, and the church we grew up in, not every church is going to be running like this church was, running huge numbers. And the idea isn't to have a huge church with a lot of people. You look at a ministry like First Baptist in Hammond, and that's not necessarily the pattern ministry. The pattern ministry is right here. They give us in the book of Acts. The idea isn't necessarily to build a huge church with a lot of people, but to be sending out people and reaching the world with the gospel. But the situations are different. The time was different. The people were different. The population is different. So I'm not preaching a message tonight saying that all of the churches in America aren't right with God if they're not running 100,000 people. But I do want to say to you tonight, I believe God put this church in Jerusalem. Put that church in the Bible, in the book of Acts, the church of Jerusalem, for a reason. The Bible tells us that they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. And later from Antioch, all of Asia heard the gospel. And as these people would get saved, the people were getting saved, and they would trust Christ their Savior, but it wasn't just my ticket to heaven. It wasn't just my fire insurance. I'm saved now, and I don't have to go to hell. Okay, I'm all set. No, it was more than that. They as they get saved, they begin to grow, and they begin to change the way that they live. So much so that they begin. We see that there were people who were selling idols, these idol sellers, selling these little statues of these gods to put on the dashboards of their chariots and such. And they would sell these idols. But they couldn't sell enough these idols to make a living anymore, and they were getting upset at these preachers who were coming and telling these people this gospel. And they began to grow and to change the way that they lived and the things that they did and the things they cared about, and began to invest their money in different things and not to buy these idols. And these people were upset about it. And I believe that these idol sellers were upset because a few people understood some basic things that I believe today in the 21st century we're willingly ignorant of. Now when I say we, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to us. And I believe if we're really going to reach the world with the gospel and fulfill this great commission that God gave us in the Bible, we're going to have to realize that we've all got some work to do. And we've all got some changing to do, and there's always room to grow. No matter how much I'm doing for missions, no matter how much you're doing for missions and for soul winning and the work in the church here, no matter what we're doing, there's always room to grow. There's always room to stretch our faith. And as you do all do faith promise here, or as you do the faith promise, and year after year, it ought to grow. There ought to be room for us to expand and grow every year. We ought to do more. Not just in our the giving of our money, but in the giving of our time and our praying and our devotion to God. And there's so much more to do. And you look at the huge numbers of the population of the world is just growing by leaps and bounds. Almost 7 billion people in the world. So much to do. And you look and God gives us this command in the Bible, and we say, you know, I used to growing up reading verses like this. You know, I thought, well, we've got to do our part, and we'll do our part to reach the world with the gospel. But that's not what God says here. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And I believe that's exactly what God expects us to do. When He gave this command to His disciples there, He prefaced that statement before He gave them this command and told them what He wanted them to do. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Before He gives them this, what I believe is the greatest command in all the Bible. And you can say, well, the greatest command the Bible says is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's true, but I believe these all just come together in one. How can you love your neighbor any more than to tell him about the greatest gift that's ever been given? And to give him that opportunity to have eternal salvation, he doesn't have to go to hell. How can you love him any more? And how can we love God any more than to take that thing that's closest to His heart? God has sent His Son, the most precious thing that He had, and sent Him to die on a cross, and He paid the price for our sins. And He did that because I believe that what He wants more than anything is for souls to come to Him. He's not willing that anyone should perish. And I believe that God has taken His heart and put it in our hands. God's heart is in our hands. I believe this is just one of the greatest commandments in the Bible. How can we love God any more than to take that message of eternal salvation and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and take it to the world? How can we love Him any more? For 2,000 years, the church has said what is okay. He gave them this command. And first of all, let me say this. I believe it's very important that we pass our faith down on to our children and to the next generation. Very, very important. And I believe the future of getting the gospel to the world is the young people. And we've got to be sure to pass our faith down to the next generation. But at the same time, when God gave this command, Jesus gave this command, before He sent it up into heaven, He told His disciples, He said, you got to go in the world, all the world, and preach the gospel. And I believe He fully expected them to accomplish that. I don't believe God asks anything of us that He doesn't expect us to do. He doesn't never give us anything that's too great for us to accomplish. He doesn't give us a burden that's too great. And when God told them to go into the world and preach the gospel, I believe that He wasn't asking them to do a little bit and get the gospel here and tell these people, and then to hand it on down to their children, and then on to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. I don't believe that's God's plan. I believe God's plan is for us to reach the world with the gospel. And you look at how many people there are in the world today, what a huge task. But if more Christians would get on fire and realize that it's my job to get the gospel to the world, not just in India, not just in the Philippines, or in Thailand, or Liechtenstein, or Fiji, but right here. America is quickly becoming one of the fastest growing mission fields in the world. More and more, as you go out and knock on doors, people don't know anything about, they think Easter is about the Easter Bunny. And Christmas is about Santa Claus, especially we are in New England, up in Rhode Island and such, where my wife is from. The children have no idea about these stories from the Bible. even in the Bible Belt down south, so many people without the gospel and without even basic knowledge of the gospel. So much to do. So much to do. We look at the huge numbers of people. I want to show you tonight, but I believe that in our generation, we can reach the world with the gospel. Let me say, first of all, I believe that the gospel, the message, isn't broken. We can't look at the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, get on the cross to pay for our sins. The message isn't broken. It's still good. It'll be good all the way to the last person who ever lives on the face of the earth, all the way from Adam and Eve. The message isn't broken. Let me say this, the method isn't broken. I want to show you here in a minute. God gives us here the method of getting the gospel to the world. It's not broken. I'm going to say to you tonight, I believe it's the messenger that's broken. It's us. However, God can use a broken vessel, a broken messenger. God wants to use us. In fact, that's the only thing God will use. God hasn't chosen to use the government, whether it's the Bush administration or the Obama administration. It doesn't matter. They're not going to change the world. God hasn't chosen to use Hollywood. In fact, his own angels, the angels are going to come and proclaim the good news of the gospel in these foreign lands. The ACLU, Planned Parenthood. You know, who's going to make a difference if I don't, if you don't? If Christians don't take the responsibility of the gospel personally, the world will never be reached. You know, Pastor Cole can only do so much. He can only talk to so many people. I want to show you here in a little while what one person can do. You see, one person can't reach the world with the gospel. But I want to show you that God can use one person in a mighty way to give himself to God to reach the world with the gospel. One person can't do it by themselves, but God can use one person, I believe, to reach the world with the gospel. But just imagine if instead of just one person getting on fire and one Pastor Cole or one Mrs. Cole or one of the Garland. Imagine if we just attacked the world like a mighty army, working together. If I could have a young man jump up here and help me, any volunteers, young man that could help me real quick, right here. Could you jump? Just get your Bible and jump up here real quick. What's your name? Shane. Okay, thanks, Shane. Let's imagine that Shane decided to go to India as a missionary. And let's say he goes to India. Imagine if he could have 3,000 people saved every week. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Acts, at Pentecost, that 3,000 people saved in one day. Imagine if every week Shane could be responsible for 3,000 people being saved, week after week after week after week after week. Now, first of all, let me say, I would give him my support check. If he could do that, 3,000 saved every week, I'd support him as a missionary. However, if we could freeze the population of India, right where it's at, almost 1.2 billion people, it would take Shane nearly 800 years to reach India with the gospel. But 3,000 people saved every week, 52 weeks a year, almost 800 years. Now, let me ask you a question. Is Shane going to, how old is Shane? He's 14. He's young yet. He's plenty of good years ahead of him. But now, is he going to live to be 800 years old? Yes or no? Probably not. Now, even if Shane did live to be 800 years old, are the people in India going to live to be 800 years old? Can you really freeze the population where it's at? You see, I believe God wants us to tell the people in India about Jesus Christ, does he not? And even right now, people are dying and perishing as we speak tonight, and many thousands will fall into a crisis eternity. However, I believe that God wants us to reach those people with the gospel, not just in India. Now, that's just a drop in the bucket. Just barely, almost, just a little over 1/7 of the population of the world right now. It would take them almost 800 years to reach them with the gospel. I believe God is excited about one soul gets saved. I believe that he's happy if one sinner repents. And if Shane went to India, and the whole time he was there, years and years, only had one person saved, it's worth it all. However, I believe that God is disappointed, and he is upset about the countless millions and even billions around the world will die and perish without the gospel if we don't do something about it. You see, this would be an awesome work if Shane could have 3,000 people saved every week. That's awesome. However, I don't believe that's God's plan. If he were just to go there and to reach the people, 3,000 saved every week, that's phenomenal growth, a lot of people being saved. But you see, God's plan is for him to train them and send them out. Let's look here at Matthew chapter number 28. Let's look at this method that God gives us here. Just real quickly, just about 10 minutes left and we'll close. Four things God tells us here. Number one, he says, go. We've got to go. And to go isn't just to go to some foreign land where the gospel is not. We can go right here. There's no wrong address to take the gospel. We've all got to take this command personally. Not that I have to go as a missionary somewhere, but I need to go right here. It's not the missionary's job to go, and the churches in America, their job to give and to pray. But it's the missionary's job to go and to give and to pray and support missions and to pray for missionaries and to win souls. But it's also every Christian's job to go and to teach the gospel. That's number two, teaching all nations, the Bible says, teaching the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number one, go. Number two, teach the gospel. Number three, and so important, baptizing our converts, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We've got to get our converts to come down the aisle and get them baptized. Number four, and so important, number one, go. Number two, teach the gospel. Number three, baptize our converts. And then number four, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So important. We've got to disciple our converts. And I believe that we just apply to teaching them all things. And that's the whole Bible, the whole counsel of God, all the commandments. But we just apply that right back to the verse right before that. Number one, go, teach the gospel, baptize our converts, and train them to go, teach the gospel, baptize our converts, and train them to go, teach the gospel, baptize their converts, and train them to go, teach the gospel, baptize their converts, and so on and so forth. That's God's plan, and that's the method that God gives us to reach the world with the gospel. It'd be an awesome work, Shane, if you could do that. 3,000 people saved every week. Is this guy a good preacher? Okay, he can preach, and he's a soul winner, no doubt. What an awesome work that would be. But if you're not training those converts, if he was not training the people in those churches and getting converts down the aisle, and so many times it's so easy for us just to go knock on doors and to reach people and to tell them about the gospel, we've got to realize we've got a responsibility, not just the preacher and not just the Sunday school teacher and the bus captain and the bus driver or the van driver or mom and dad, or the junior church teacher, or the Pastor Pirate Club teacher. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. If you trust in Christ your Savior, you know for sure you're going to heaven, would you just slip your hand up tonight? So these verses here, he's talking to you, he's talking to me. And we've all got a responsibility, not just to teach the gospel, but we've got to get our converts down the aisle and get them baptized, and go back and disciple them, and get them to the church and come in faithfully, the church, and then get them sharing their faith. The fruit of a Christian is a Christian. We've got to be fruitful. We've got to multiply if we're going to reach the world with the gospel. So important. So let's apply this these verses to Shane here. Let's say that Shane decides he wants to do everything he can to reach the world with the gospel. And so he's going to be friendly everywhere he goes and talking to people about the gospel, about Jesus. He's going to carry tracts in his pocket. He's going to be a witness everywhere he goes. He's going to take time, set aside time every week and go out and share the gospel with people. God's given him an awesome gift. And he's going to take that gift and he's going to give it to other people. Let's say that Shane decided that he's going to do everything he can to get the gospel to the world. Let's just say for the next 30 years, every year, for the next 30 years, Shane decides he wants to try to have one person saved every year, but not leave it there. He wants to get them down to come to church and get them to make a public profession, come down the aisle, and then get baptized. And then go back and get them to come to church faithfully and teach them the Word of God and get them their own Bible and get them praying and get them involved in the service of the church and getting them involved in the activities and then getting them ultimately to produce Christians, getting them to share their faith. If he can just have one every year. Now, if he's going to get one every year to come down the aisle and get baptized and come to church faithfully, he's probably going to talk to a lot of people. And he's probably going to be friendly everywhere he goes. He may have several dozen get saved. He may talk to a lot of people, and a few of those get saved. And then a few of those actually come and make a public profession, or maybe at least come to church. Then a handful of those make a public profession, and maybe a few of those will actually get baptized. Maybe get a couple of those to actually stick, and maybe get one or two of them actually out souling. But if you just do one every year, just get one every year, and then teach them to get one. And so I'm going to have, is it Andrew? Can you help me real quick? Can you just jump up here next to Shane real quick? We've just got about 5 minutes and we're close. So Shane, he's out knocking on doors. Well, let's just say he's at school. Or maybe he's at a soccer game. You like soccer? Play soccer around here? Basketball? What do we play around here? Hockey? We're close to Canada. Basketball? Okay. That's my kind of guy from Indiana. Who's your basketball? Okay. So they're playing basketball at the park maybe. And Andrew talking to Shane, and he realizes something a little different about him. And so, but Shane ends up talking to Andrew, and he gets saved. He comes to church, gets baptized, and starts coming to church faithfully. Year number one, Shane reaches one. For sake of time, we won't multiply it all the way out, but year number two, if Shane and Andrew could each reach one, we're going to double every year. Year number two, they each reach one. I have two more young men. Help jump up here. Help me real quick. These two men back here. Can you? There's four of you there. Can just two of you jump up real quick and help me? There we go. One, two. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Just stand over here real quick. Maybe Shane out knocking on doors. Andrew finds out that they go soul winning here, and so Andrew goes out with Shane and knocking on doors, and he keeps going week after week. And after a while, he's like, "This is pretty easy. I think I can do this." So while Shane's talking to, what's your name? Kyle. Shane's talking to Kyle and showing him the verses, how he can be saved. And what's your name? Sean comes walking down the street, and Andrew's like, "This is easy. Shane's talking to Kyle. I think I can do this." And so he gets out his New Testament, and he goes and he attacks Sean with the gospel. And he says, "Hey, Sean, if you were to die today, would you know for sure you're going to heaven?" And both these young men get saved. They both come to church and get baptized and start coming to church faithfully. That's year number two. Year number three, each one reaches one. These four, they all would reach one the next year. Year after year after year. Now, remember, Shane went to India, 3,000 people saved in 1 week, and the next week, and the next week. Well, he accomplished a lot. But sometimes slow growth is the best growth. And we've got to train people. We've got to reproduce ourselves and get them to reproduce themselves. Now, we're going to establish a chain here, and the chain is only as strong as the weakest link. Remember, because of sin, we're broken. People will die. People will quit. People get sick. I want to say to you, even if Pastor Cole decided it's too cold up here, and he wants to move to the Bahamas, and Brother Garland moves along with him, they start a church down there, or maybe they just quit altogether, and they're just tired of the ministry. It's not worth it anymore. And if this whole church folds and everyone quits, God will still look at me someday. And he'll still look at you at the judgment seat. And he's not going to hold you accountable for your sin. But I believe he'll hold us accountable for what we did for him, the worst that we did for him. Is it wood, hay, and stubble, or will it last? I'm not going to pull you all behind me on my way to heaven. He'll take the souls that you've influenced for him. So every year, Shane reaches one and trains them to reach one. And if each one could reach one just for 30 years, Shane could be responsible. Maybe not 3,000 every week. I mean, I get his name published in the Revival Fires or some magazine. But after 30 years, Shane could be responsible. If he could continue the pattern, it won't work perfectly. People will quit. People die. But after 30 years, he'd have over 1 billion, 74 million people trusted Christ. Now remember, Shane was going to talk to a lot of people. He talked to a lot of people. He was friendly. And he hand out tracts everywhere he goes. And he's a witness and everywhere at school. And he's just on fire about the gospel. Not everyone's going to get saved. We won't reach the whole world with the gospel as far as winning everyone to Christ. But God doesn't command us to win the world, but to warn them. We've got to warn them. And I believe in 30 years we could reach the world with the gospel. You saw what one person could be responsible for doing. It's possible. It really is. And that's just one a year. We can do so much more than that. And we've got an army just here in this room. I believe that you all can be seated. Thank you for your help. Let's give them a hand. Especially Shane, the one of the year. I want to say to you tonight, I believe just in this room we have the manpower with God's power to reach the world with the gospel. It's just one young lady or one young man at heart. Age isn't an object. It doesn't matter. I believe we can do so much more than we realize. You know, it's not us anyway. It's God. You look at yourself and say, I'm just a broken sinner. I'm not really worth much. I just do this. My job is only this. I only sweep the floor in the church. I'm the janitor. Or I do this for a living. You know, it's not important. It's important that we realize that as a Christian, your most important job is to reach people with the gospel. What are you doing to fulfill the Great Commission? God has asked you. No, he's not asked you. He's commanded you. He's given us a job to do. What am I doing to reach the world with the gospel? What am I doing to fulfill this Great Commission? The world is so huge out there. So many people. And you look at it and you say, you know, what can I really do? How important is my job? Boy, if you just get behind your pastor, get behind this man of God, and let's stop fussing about the things that aren't important, or the things that are. Whether it's important or not, let's just stop fussing and let's focus on getting the gospel to the world. Let's put all the strife behind us and all the bickering that goes on and all the fussing and complaining. And let's realize that we've got awesome work to do. You personally. We've got to reach the world with the gospel. No one else is going to do it if you don't. Who's going to do it? I don't know where your heart is tonight. No doubt you've heard some great preachers come through here. And you've heard your pastor preach week after week. But I want to say to you tonight, we've got a great job to do. I believe in our generation, we could reach the world with the gospel. Do you believe it tonight? Do you really believe that when God gives us this command to reach the world with the gospel, you really believe he means for us to do it? We've got to trust in him. He says, all power is given unto me. He's got the power. He's got the resources. He's got what it takes. We've got to put our trust and our faith in him. We've got to do it by faith and his power. If you do believe it tonight, would you do something about it? Would you do more yet? You say, I'm already doing something about it. Let's do more. Let's just continue to, every day, just do more and grow in our faith and grow in our testimony and our witness and what we're doing for him. I believe in our generation we can reach the world with the gospel. Do you believe that tonight? If you do believe that, would you stand in testimony to that? And by standing, say, I'm going to do my part and do what I can to get the gospel to the world. And we'll have Pastor come and close the service. Thank you.